we rarely care to the point that I would do something. I'll start with a funny story, an example. I have a show, Rav, and one day my Rav came Shabbos morning, and he got up at the pulpit when it was time for him to give his speech. He said, "I have a speech here prepared," as he prepares every week, one of those that does prepare. "However, I don't want to speak about what I prepared, because someone stole my shtender this week and returned it this morning. And I'd like to speak about that, because I actually like what he did. He took my shtender at the beginning of the week without my permission, painted it without my permission, and brought it back this morning before me seeing who it was. And I kind of like what he did." He said, "Now there are a number of steps in terms of what just took place. Step one was someone noticed that there's a problem. That the shul bought me a raw wood shtender that was unpainted, unshellacked. Now that would personally be my fault. I'm the one that had the shtender bought, actually, for the shul. And I don't know. I don't think I ever even looked to see, hey, did he get a painted one? I don't think I ever noticed." And he said, "Most people don't notice anything." And that's really the case. Most people just don't notice that there's a problem. And when you finally have that person that notices, hey, there's a problem there, it's like, wow, there's a problem. And he goes to sleep. That's the last we hear of him. Then there's step two. The guy that says, wow, there's a problem. And he realizes step B, someone should do something. And then he goes to sleep and we never hear of him. And then there are those people that graduate to step three. Wow, there's a problem, someone should do something. And that person should be me. And then we never hear from him again. Step four is that he says, hey, there's a problem, someone should do something, should be me. And he goes and does it. And step five, he said, what? And step five, in this case, he said, was he remained anonymous. He never told me who it was. In the end, I found out who it was. Tzaddik in the show. I was holding by one. I didn't even notice. And I was the one that had it bought. Rav Boaz once wanted to test this theory.
This was here? Where was this?
I was involved in a shul up the hill. I was the president for a few years, so I was the one that got the chair for the rug, the shender for the rug. So the chair was actually very funny. We started in my basement, and every week I brought down a dining room chair, one of my dining room chairs for the rug. So one week I told a friend of mine, Ari, do me a favor, go buy the rug a chair, nice chair. So he brings the boy, buys a beautiful chair, brings it into the shul. Erev Shabbos, the Rav walks in, and he's like, get this out of here, take it out for straight plus comments. Just burn it with the like, oh. Like, Rebbe, you know, like, that's a chair for you, we bought it. He goes, I don't want to sit in a nice chair. Like, Rebbe, you sit in my chair, that's your personal chair, I'll sit in your chair. That's like, it's not, you know, but to buy me a chair, I don't want to sit in a bought chair. I'm like, why not, you're the Rav. So he said, well, the shul doesn't have chairs. When the shul has chairs, if you want to get me a chair, I'll sit in a chair. But until the shul has chairs, I'm not going to sit in a nice chair.
Did he keep my chair?
No, we get rid of it. We have to get rid of it. He threw it, he brought it, he made us bring it out of the shul. He refused to see it in the shul.
The rabbi of our shul has like a really beat up car. And in the community brought him like a nice car, and he said, you know, he told them to sell it, because until everyone in the community is able, you know, to have food on their table and have, have, you know, money, you know, I don't want this car.
So I'll tell you a nice of a tzaddik. Tell you a story of a tzaddik. Tzaddikus. People come to your homes all the time, right? For collecting for money. They're in need. So you get the knock on the door. Stucker, collecting for whatever. And the joke in many communities is that it's cheaper to eat out than to be at home, right? By the time you're done with dinner, you've already spent more than dinner. So, One of the things that my wife said to me at one point, about 10 years ago, she said, I can't take this anymore. Every night, there knocks at the door, and I open the door, and I'm standing there with a wedding ring, this stupid little rock called a diamond, this American culture, which is a few thousand dollars, and the guy is like, yeah, stuck up. I'm wearing thousands of dollars on my foot. What in the world am I doing? What right do I have? I was like, dear, that was already paid for. It's okay, I worked for that. You know, like, what's done is done, you know, it's over. She's like, no, we're going to sell it. I'm like, we're going to sell? Okay, what are we going to do with that? She's like, we're going to give it all to Tzedakah. We give already a nice amount of Tzedakah. We really do. I was so shocked by the comedy. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And that's what we did. She insisted. Because how could it be? And a huge tzedakah. We gave it to a jeweler, Yossi Stern, Zechana Tzadik Lebracha, who just passed away less than a year ago. He started Project Ezra in Teaneck, New Jersey. One of the greatest tzedakah organizations in the world. And Yossi Stern was at first a jeweler. We got a mamash in his last year as a jeweler, and then he quit and retired and opened Project Ezra. That's what he did. He learned and did chesed for about 8 years ago. And he said he felt for the story. He was like, wow, you guys are unbelievable. So he went ahead and he gave us, he took the diamond out of the ring and put, instead of like, what, you know, you're not going to have anything? You should have a wedding ring. So he put a sapphire in there. And he never told us how much it was worth. He just gave it to us for free. He gave us some money, thousands of dollars for the diamond, went into our tzedakah account, we gave it all away, and then he put a sapphire in it for free and he gave it to us. He never told us how much it was worth. Until last year, not even 12 months ago, 8 months ago, my wife lost her rings. And we went and spoke to insurance. And insurance, we found out how much that sapphire, we never knew, we never assessed, we never looked, we found out how much this little sapphire that he gave us for free. It wasn't a fortune, it wasn't thousands of dollars, that would have been self-defeating in the purpose, but it was a few hundred dollars. Which is like, what? Why did he do that? Like, she was ready for like a plastic, you know, the little plastic crystal that the kids can get in the toy store for $2. She was ready, like, oh, what do I need? It's called Ima Onochi Vatsar. I'm with you in pain. I'll tell you an amazing story. Absolutely amazing story. There's a Rav in Muncie, where we only have 8 minutes. A Rav in Muncie. And this Rav in Muncie was just a third grade Rebbe. He's not a Gadol Hador. He's not a big name. He's not known in the world. Just a Rebbe in Muncie. Well, what happened was he was at a wedding. And when he's at that wedding, and this grandma, a Bubby, comes up to him and says, you live in Muncie? Yeah, I do. She says, can I get a ride with you? I have to also go to Muncie. Tonight, after the wedding, I'm spending the night with my daughter. Could you drive me? Sure. Great. They're in the car. And the old Bubby is in the car. And she turns to this individual and says, can I tell you a terrible story? They're like, well, I guess I'm a captured audience. Sure. Why not? I think you want to tell me, so sure. So she starts telling the story about her first grade granddaughter. And her first grade granddaughter had her sitter party yesterday. And that's really wonderful. Mazel tov. Yeah, that's what I would say. But, Bubby says, the teacher decided they should learn a really special midah, special characteristic along with getting their sitter. So they're going to learn the midah of sharing as they get their sitter. And everyone should bring in some food item and they'll all share with each other. And while they're sharing, having a sharing party, they'll get their sitter and a beautiful sitter party. And my granddaughter somehow lost the paper of what's acceptable and unacceptable kashrus. And never gave it to my daughter. My daughter went out and bought something that apparently the teacher didn't approve of. And we're not talking right now if the teacher handled it correctly or not, because that's not the point. She definitely botched it. And the teacher went ahead and took away the wafers from my granddaughter. And my granddaughter sat in the corner the entire day crying. because no one would share with her because she had nothing to share with them. So this rabbi, he said, wow, that's a terrible story. That really is. And that was really, for most of us, I think that would be the end of the story. Then they got to Mansi, and he dropped off the Babi. No. Life moves on. What could you do? You heard a terrible story. The next day, the next morning, this rabbi calls up a family in Mansi. Hi, my name is Rabbi Haight. And I am the president of Torah Mesorah. He's the president of Torah Mesorah. The way I'm the president of Torah Mesorah. I'm not the president. He's not the president. He's the third grade Rebbe. He's not the president of anything. And he's I'm the president of Torah Mesorah. And we had a raffle of all the boys and girls that had their sitter party this week, and you won! All I need is to know your name, and your name will be on the sitter, and we'll send that out to you right away. And he went ahead. He got it engraved in gold lettering, sent it out to this little girl. They sent back a picture of her davening from her sitter with a big smile. This rabbi from Mansi. Oh, third grade rabbi. Ima Anochi Vatara, I'm with you. I'm with you, I care. Crazy story. Lubavitcher Rebbe and a wonderful rabbi. Gilad Shalit. Gilad Shalit was in captivity for 5 years. And they set up a tent right outside the Prime Minister's office for 5 years. Every Jew, you went there? Every Jew that came on a mission to Israel stopped at the Shalit tent. Everyone went to the Shalit tent. Just to have some solidarity, to say, I care about your son. How terrible it is, what a plight. I care. And people would go out of their way. And lo and behold, this Rebbetzin, Chabad Rebbetzin, she wanted to leave this woman, Mrs. Shalit, with something. She didn't know, what am I going to leave with her? I need something. So, and she was a regular. She went to Mrs. Shalit regularly. And one day she felt she had to leave something. So what'd she leave? She had one of those dollar bills from the Rebbe. She took it out from her wallet. You know, I've been holding on to this. I want you to have it. The day Gilad Shalit was released, Mrs. Shalit called this Chabad Rebbetzin and said, do you remember that you gave me a dollar? Yeah. Sure. Do you remember there was something written on it? Like, yeah, there was a date written on the dollar bill. Today's date. It was all over the news. The Rebbe wrote a date on the dollar bill when he gave it to the Rebbetzin. And the Rebbetzin happened to have the date that Gilad Shalit was released. I don't know what that means about the Rebbe. I mean, that's classic for the Rebbe. The Rebbe has a billion stories. It's outrageous. None of them make sense on any normal plane, but he was the Rebbe. Amish.
Can we meet anyone like that?
I don't know. I haven't heard as many stories about anyone living as there are about the Rebbe. No. Rav Mordechai Eliel was close, but he's no longer with us either.
Is there anybody still alive like that?
What?
Is there anybody still alive?
Not that I know. There might be, but I don't know. It was something way beyond. I could tell you story after story about the Rebbe. It's beyond anything. But what does it tell you about the Rebbetzin? What does it tell you about the Rebbetzin? I'm with you. I care. There are different levels of care. There's caring that I notice. Oh, that really hurts. Pass the ketchup. And you move on in life. And then there's care. Something happened today. A gadol b'Yisrael. Rav Moshe Twersky learned b'chavrusa with Rav Soloveitchik, his grandfather, for 13 years in private. One-on-one chavrusa, so the Rav can raise his grandson to be the next gadol b'Yisrael. And it was only then, after 13 years, he said, now you're ready to go on your own. Became the Rosh Yeshiva, a super giant. hacked to death away like that. Asara Haruge Malchus. Like the 10 martyrs that were killed because of their love of Torah that you read on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. What does that say about the Am where we're holding? What would it say about us if we don't care? If we just move on as if nothing happened. For 5 years, as long as Gilad Shalit was not released, Rav Jake, his favorite drink is Coca-Cola. For 5 years, he didn't drink Coca-Cola, except on Shabbos. On Shabbos, he did. For 5 years, he did not drink Coca-Cola. He took it upon himself. It's my favorite drink in the world. My favorite thing in the world. Out second to learning. He didn't, because someone's in captivity, someone's in pain. If someone's in pain, how could I do it? That's Imo Nochi Vitzara. And that's what we have to start thinking. So many of us are bound up in our own minds with our own troubles, our own questions, where are we heading? But there also has to be room in our hearts when other people are going through things. What am I doing about it? You can't always save the world. The goal isn't to be He-Man and hero, the superhero, Superman. Superman is Clark Kent when he's not saving someone. You know why? Because if Superman would be walking around the world, he'd be a regular Joe. Oh, that's Superman. Slap him on the back. No, I have to be the world hero. And when I'm not saving, then I don't exist. I only exist when I'm doing something great. That's how so many of us, you know, if I could be on that platform and get the applause, then I'm great. If I'm not getting the applause, forget it, I'm a nobody. It's not true. Every moment that you do something for someone else that no one knows about, the person himself may not know about, you are a hero. Every moment you push yourself, let me just do one more minute of learning, one more minute of tefillah that no one else knows about, you're a hero. The heroic act is the one done in private. And Mir Tashem, the good will prevail over the bad. It will. We know that. The Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us that. Radical Islam. Radicalism is not taking over the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is with his chosen people. I'll end. Haman, Yimach Shemo, did a goro, did a lottery. Okay, is it going to be this date or this date or this date? Which day? So Tishrei, no, there's a Jewish holiday in that month. Cheshvan, there's a few yard sites. Nah, too many tzaddikim born in that month. Nah, it's not. Kislev, they've got holidays in Kislev. Tevet, and he went through the whole year. There was this holiday, that yard site, this birth, that. No, Adar. Oh, that's perfect. Nobody's born then. No, Moshe Rabbeinu died. He didn't realize Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. Okay, he made a little error. He thought this was the perfect month. This one is for me to destroy the Jewish people. So the Gemara is like, no, you dope. That one's waiting for you. It'll be a holiday soon. So Ahmanadinejad and Khomeini and Nasrallah and all these bozos, they're just waiting for us to have more holidays. If you're davening at the 9:30 mark,